Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
You know who I just saw walk into the studio?
Is it Tim Hardaway?
Yep.
A lot of people, I walk through airports and they see me and they say, "Tell me what you say." And I say, "What you mean?" They say, "Tell me I got skills." So I get into that more and I'll be like, "I got skills." And they'd be like, "There it is." I love that.
So maybe Tim's going to go to the White Sox and the Cubs game tomorrow night. Lawrence kind of hooked that up during the break.
I feel like Tim should throw out the first pitch tomorrow.
Keep working. Keep working on that.
I'm working on that. They can get a Hardaway jersey printed up.
Tim Hardaway's going to show us how to shoot when the wind's up. I got skills.
Skills. Shout out to Gangstar. Let me guess. Tanny left that for you, Alex. Is that correct?
Why would you say that?
Yes, he did.
Because okay. Gangstar is one of his favorite groups of all time. And whenever he can match something up with a good Gangstar record, he does it. And this one matches perfectly because Gangstar has a song literally called Skills.
If you didn't pick up from context and you're just turning on the radio, Tanny's out today, but Alex Kuhn is running the board. And we are now in 11 personnel, the single Tyler formation. We have a single Tyler. And I feel pretty good about our chances. We can still run a lot of stuff this afternoon in 11.
Well, there's been a lot of growth with Tyler Farengold too. So like,
especially with the hair on the chin.
Absolutely. So now we can ask him to do a little bit more stuff. It wasn't like before when we were absolutely asking him to fail, like Caleb. And he is now grown.
Yeah.
Well, because of that failure.
Sure, and I can see now with the beard, with the Amish chin strap he's got going, I guess there's a little bit of a mustache.
I'm actually shaving it this week.
Oh,
is there any particular reason why?
Because it looks Amish.
Just a little bit.
You're not feeling it? Okay.
I'm lazy.
That's fair.
He's like Nick Kurtz. I had to pause there to make sure. But
yes.
The big Amish.
I did not hit 4 home runs though the other night.
Dude, he could hit 5.
That was really close.
He had a double off the top of the wall.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Bubba Wallace.
How about it?
That's why I got the hat on today.
I know. I am NASCAR literate to a point. And the fact that Jordan has been handed a couple of trophies over the last few weeks, pretty cool. That ends our NASCAR conversation.
Big win.
Show.
Big win for Bubba. Congrats to him.
Huge win for Bubba.
We're all going to hear it on Tyler Farengold's NASCAR podcast, Left Turns Only. That's coming up soon.
I think the score should have him doing a... Well, it kind of depends now because it doesn't look like NASCAR is coming back to the city.
Uh-huh.
But if it does... And all right, we'll continue the NASCAR
anyway,
talk just real quick.
Oh, no!
Just real quick.
No, we're good!
My solution
is... My fault.
It shouldn't be every year. It should be every other year. That's what I would do if I were the city in NASCAR. The street race should be
come back 2027, maybe 2028.
That's what I'm talking
every
about.
Every other year.
That concludes our NASCAR conversation. Whew,
man, I'm glad I was here for all of it. So Tim Hardaway in studio on Friday, and Lawrence says, I should reach out over there. Tim said he'd like to go to the game. I can report, as I got the chance to work at Cubs Sox yesterday, so I'm walking the bowels of the stadium, went to both clubhouses, and in between the two clubhouses, I saw Brooks Boyer there, and I said, "Brooks, what's up?" And I said, "Hey, man, Hardaway was here last night." He said, "Yeah, your partner texted me." I said, "I know." And then he told me how it went down. For those who don't know, Tim Hardaway threw out the first pitch on Saturday for the White Sox and Cubs game. And he was there in a Hardaway jersey, as you said. And Brooks said, once you reached out and you connected him with one of his people that was here.
Mm-hmm. Christy.
Christy. Brooks and him texted and he said, "How many people would you like to have come? I've got some tickets set aside." And Tim Hardaway said, 11. And Brooks said, "Oh, okay.
That's a lot of tickets."
It's a lot. And I think I could share this. He said he had some front row seats he was saving. And those ended up getting scooped up late because Chris Chelios had reached out.
Of course. So he's another guy that should have been at that game.
Right, exactly. So Chelios reached out and the White Sox took care of that. And then the White Sox realized they had an extra luxury suite available. And Tim Hardaway and Christy and his partner from the support group,
Benny,
who was here, and a total of 11 people got to watch Cubs Sox in a suite at Rate Field on Saturday night because you reached out. I love that.
I'm glad that it worked out. The White Sox, we've been teaming up in a lot of ways over the last week, and it's been great. And I can officially announce this now that Danny knows. They made a donation to the Radiothon, the White Sox did. So they're going to give away a VIP experience for four White Sox fans, including on the field stuff. We're going to auction that off during the Radiothon.
Just tremendous.
On Thursday. And probably it'll be connected because I believe Toby Hall is going to be on. And Bobby Jenks was supposed to be on the Radiothon. So it's been, even though the team has been one thing, the people who are a part of that team mean a lot to me. And being connected with those people and having those people connected to the score, even though we are not the flagship, I think is really important because we're the score. So being able to help in that regard and have good feelings going both ways with the White Sox is important to me. And I know it's important to you too.
Absolutely.
It's important for us as a show. So I'm glad that we have a couple of wins that we can share in with them being a part of the Radiothon. And I was like, look, it's the Cubs for a Cure Radiothon. It's like, I'm not trying to snow you like this. And they were like, we're just happy to help.
Yeah. And happy to help. And then, And it just sets up, look, interleague play is palatable, in my opinion, because of weekends like this. Because of weekends like this and Mets, Yankees, and frankly, just a few others. But like Cubs Sox was awesome all weekend long. The vibes around the ballpark were electric. You could feel it on the broadcast. And getting to be a part of it yesterday was just a thrill, man. And like seeing people, you know, from the Sox, obviously, Darren Jackson comes down to our radio booth from their radio booth before the game. Spigs, big hug from DJ. And DJ played with Ron Coomer. They were teammates. And so, like, the vibes between DJ and Coom are elite. They loved each other as teammates and were giving each other crap on the air and off about a couple years later when Coomer had a grand slam stolen by Darren Jackson in the outfield when they were playing against each other, you know? Stuff like that. At one point, Chris Hubbell, who's the sound man on the South Side and the guy from Triple Threat Sports, played, as he often does, a bit of Sonic 45 over the PA system before the game. You got Len Casper in one booth, who's playing bass on that album, and me in another booth, who's singing on that album. I mean, it's crazy to have that kind of connectivity going on. So
hold please, Speaks.
Yeah, just tremendous vibes for Cubs and for White Sox and everybody yesterday.
There might be some more tremendous vibes for the Cubs. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. This is from John Heyman. Cubs baseball president Jed Hoyer and the team agree on a multi-year extension.
Wow. That's very interesting timing. Very interesting timing. Good for Jed.
Why do you say it's interesting timing?
Because the deadline is forcing all sorts of activity and all sorts of decisions. You see, Seth Lugo got an extension by the Royals, who decided to not part with him because conversations take place because they have to at this point. If Jed Hoyer is making decisions that could destroy the farm system in a go-for-it year that is his final year, maybe you want him to think more holistically.
Right. Think about the fact that you're going to be the steward of this thing for a while and not just we're throwing a raging kegger to finish your tenure as Cubs president of baseball operations.
His mentor, Theo Epstein, left before he had to facilitate the trades that he knew were going to have to be made.
He sure did.
So he left, and then Jed made the decisions that affected his tenure. So Jed now, this week, is going to make decisions that affect his own tenure. That's significant to me. That's why the timing jumps out to me.
There's a part of me that wonders, though, if you're a Cub fan, do you kind of want lame duck Jed to go out there and be like, I don't care. It's not my problem. We're going to spend.
It's a good question. Because I think the decisions that are being made this week for a lot of franchises are based on, do you want to go for it and win the World Series right now or not? You know, do you want to extend your time horizon? When you're on your deathbed, are you going to say, boy, I gave our organization a chance to win for a period of 7 to 9 years?
I created stability.
Or are you going to say, 1 year I won the World Series? And which one is preferable as legacy?
Maybe you get both. Maybe it's like the old El Paso commercial. Why not both? Maybe that's where we're at with this, where he's like, now I've got full Space Command. They trust me so much that they gave me this extension. We're doing this. We're doing this because we're the best team in the National League. We have as good a chance as anybody to win this year's World Series, and we're not going to take that lightly.
Well, the decision that we're talking about and that legacy and how you feel about it is often at the ownership level and not the front office level, right? It's often the owner deciding, do I want to just be to have stability, or do I want to go for it hard and then figure out another way to go for it next time I'm in this position? That kind of thing. But whether they can do both, see, I think when they look at it, when front office guys look at it, and especially if they quantify it, they're saying all we can do is get in and give ourselves a chance. And so that's multiple years of getting in and giving yourself a chance. And I think that is the better decision when you zoom out and you think about it like a spreadsheet. But should a year be thought about like a spreadsheet? You know what I mean? It's a tricky spot. It's fascinating. Look, congrats to Jed Hoyer.
Very much so.
Who has done a really, really good job of getting this team to this spot right now this season. Okay? But now whether this extension emboldens him to be more aggressive or not is going to be fascinating to watch between here and the deadline.
Look at Dave Grohl winning his Grammy. Look at him. Look at him. I made the mention to Jed that he was the Dave Grohl of Nirvana, like that of Cubs baseball.
That once Theo left, Kurt was gone.
And so you got to figure out what you're going to do. And like, so I also mentioned that.
Some good Foo Fighters records, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. The first reference I made to him is that he was Big Boy of Outkast, but he didn't quite get that reference. So I was like, you're Dave Grohl. And he's like, oh, I get that one.
Yeah.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
And he was down with it.
Yeah. And I hope that he went and was like, wait, what's this Outkast that he speaks of? I like some of their songs.
Man, he probably will. And Hey Ya,
right,
is like right there for you, yeah, in terms of that kismet.
But yes, he is the Dave Grohl of Cubs baseball, so, and I'm happy for him.
So very, very interesting how that plays out. And I think it's a nice opportunity to think about the full context of the Cubs window as you think about this extension for Jed Hoyer.
I still want them to be aggressive, and I hope that I want Jed to be emboldened to be aggressive with this extension that he's signing,
rather than be bought to be cautious.
Yes. Yes, you nailed it. That's it. I don't want him to be like, well, you know, they're paying me to make sure that this thing can keep rolling for a while. No, like this is a great chance. And to speak of his predecessor, who would always say, every season where you can win the World Series is precious. I don't know if the Cubs are going to win the World Series, but as it stands right now, I'm not convinced that there are too many teams that are better than them.
I think we're hitting on what makes this particular deadline so fascinating for them. Is like all of, and frankly, it's storylines of the last several years all kind of consolidating here in this moment. Because I can understand caution. I could understand it. Like if they come out of this with a high leverage reliever who they add to the mix, a utility player to fill out the bench, and they can move on from Vidal Brujan, right? And somebody who can spot Matt Shaw a little bit, and a rental starter like Adrian Hauser or Merrill Kelly. If they come out of it with all of that, with Tyone and Assad possibly coming back, with the move of Colin Ray back to the bullpen probably, with Steele coming back next year, etc., as long as Boyd and Shota stay healthy and you get to the playoffs, you could see all of that and be like, I get it. I get it. And they didn't mortgage Owen Casey when you don't know for sure that Kyle Tucker is not going to sign, right? Well, so all those things, caution could make sense, but I'm afraid that people are going to see caution as the latter of the two scenarios we just talked about.
Well, I mean, now that we're a few minutes into talking about this, if you're just joining us, thank you so much for checking out the Speed Going Home show. Jed Hoyer has signed a multi-year extension to stay president of baseball operations with the Cubs. I wonder, too, like, if he has offered up a plan about Tucker. And I wonder if Tom is on board with, hey, this is how we feel about the player. And I'm not sure which way they feel. You know, like they could say, we love the player, but we don't love the player for $600 million. And we feel like we might be able to recreate someone like Kyle Tucker or whatever. I don't know how they feel. And maybe that plays a role, too, in Tom hearing something that he likes and saying, yeah, you're our guy, you're our front person on getting this done or not getting this done, and being like, hey, here's my strategy for re-signing Pete to an extension to get him under a salary-controlled situation so we continue to build on what it is that we're doing.
All right, I love that thought process. Let's the good side of that thought process, from my perspective, is that they've gone to Kyle Tucker and said, Kyle, we need to know. We need to know if we got a shot to sign you, because it looks like we might have to give up Owen Casey to get a real good starting pitcher in here. And we want to do it to give us a best chance to win a World Series right now. But if we do it and we're going to lose you, we're in a bad spot. Would you sign an extension for this? And Kyle says, yeah, I would. And then Jed's got to go to Tom and say, hey, Tom, you gotta green light this so I can know what I'm doing.
Right.
And Tom says, but if you do this, then what the hell is the expenditures? What are we going to do? How are we going to field a team? How am I going to make some money? And Jed says, I know how you can. I got it. I can do it. I promise you. Maybe we don't pay Pete for a while. Maybe you bleed.
You go to arbitration with him just beating the hell out of you in arbitration.
Yep. Yeah, you do what you did with Bryant to Pete. You know, and you just kind of maximize that as best you can, and you don't do that. Or it's the inverse, right? But in that scenario, I could see Jed and Tom needing to have certainty about each other in order to execute the plan, which does come up right here at the deadline.
And it might be an asset. It could be an asset where if Tom is at some point talked to Kyle Tucker, and I don't know how involved Tom would even get on something like this, but if he's like, you know, I really like it here and I really like Jed. Like, those are all things that you have to keep in mind if you're going to make a big expenditure like that to try to even get into the bidding on a player like this. But we don't know. I think this is overall a good thing for the Cubs, and I'm glad for Jed, quite honestly. This has worked out to his advantage. I love to see people succeed when the rabbit has the gun. The rabbit had the gun because this team is a first-place team and has a chance to be in the World Series this year.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him that it timed up like this.
I feel like we should keep discussing this and fold in some of the Cubs and Sox stuff from over the weekend.
If you'd like to call us and be a part of this conversation, whether it's Jed Hoyer or talk Cubs and Sox this weekend, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can hit us up via text as well, or if you're in the mob, someone made a really, really shortened the word analogy, and it did not turn out well for them inside of the Twitch mob.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I appreciate it. They said I made a good analogy about Dave Grohl, but they shortened the word.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
I don't think it worked out for any of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got to say, oftentimes that particular word that or that act, it doesn't work out like you think.
Nope. It truly doesn't.
And by the way, but what's fascinating about this is definitely a precursor to some more stuff in a big way in the next few days. You know,
we'll hold on to that. I want to find out why.
In either direction.
I want to find out why. So let's talk about that, and let's talk with you. 312-644-6767. Jed Hoyer's got new paper. We're discussing on Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.